Thank you for downloading the Three Beards Soccer Podcast, a Baltimore-based soccer show focused on the English Premier League and the footballing world. Please follow us on Facebook and on Twitter, username at Three Beards Pod.
Hello and welcome to the Three Beards EPL podcast. I am your host, Tom Miller, and I am here with Dr. Pete of Tottenham Fandom. Dr. Pete, it's been a few rough weeks here. We had our Baltimore Podcast Festival last weekend, and the recording didn't really work out the way I wanted it to, so I ended up not posting it. But Dr. Pete, we had fun, at your expense, mostly, when Tottenham was struggling a little bit.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad those tapes won't see the light of day, because that was a deep, dark period.
It was, but Tottenham back on the winner's side, back within 3 points, getting what they needed this week. And, you know, we're going to go game by game here because we started the Champions League this week. And we'll start with Liverpool versus PSG. I think that has the game with the most stars next to it, Dr. Pete. And it was a pretty good game overall.
Yeah, I saw some articles coming out that were basically asking the question, is this the deepest squad that Liverpool's ever had? I don't have any historical reference for it, but man, they just saw the PSG.
Yeah, I mean, the other side of that is that PSG working with Tuchel as a new manager, and I don't know, you never know with PSG. Like, they have games where they just drop the ball, you know. At the same time, Liverpool played extremely well. I mean, Sturridge is playing in this one, Dr. Pete. Sturridge scores. Milner with a penalty kick. Could be the best penalty kick taker in the league. I think he's like 11 for his last 12 or something like that. He's excellent. And he was also excellent with Neymar and Mbappe in this match. Mbappe did score, but, I mean, Liverpool looked good for almost the entire game. They were up 2-0. They drop a goal in the 40th minute when they're up 2-0, and Mbappe gets one in the 83rd. But Dr. Pete Firmino and his teeth grab one in the 91st, and all spoils to Liverpool.
Yeah, pretty incredible finish to the game, and I know you say that PSG tends to drop games, but basically everything they've been building towards is the Champions League. That's their entire focus. The league is a joke for them, so
yeah, they don't play
to
them.
Come out and lose their first game of the Champions League, I mean, they got to be pissed off back
there in France. It was at Anfield. By the way, Anfield continues to have a superb atmosphere. In the English
Terrific.
League, you know, in the English Premier League. They might have the best atmosphere. I hate to be the one to say it, but out of the big boys, I think that's probably true.
Yeah, especially with their team rolling right now.
Yeah.
I'd have to agree with you.
Yeah, well, I mean, is there anything else to take from that besides it's two big teams, home field advantage for Liverpool, late win for them, and, I mean, obviously Liverpool is favored to go through and top the group now, but there's still 5 matches left to play in the Champions League qualifier group stage, and PSG just they're going to win their games after that, and you just assume that it'll come down to PSG versus Liverpool in Paris, right?
Yeah, I think it probably will, but still, I think it's a statement that says, you know, this is the first time that Liverpool's played a top 5 team in the world this year, I would say, with their new squad, basically, and
yeah.
I mean, this was a statement game to me. Even though it was at home, you know, there aren't a lot of teams that can beat PSG on the road or at home. So to start out your Champions League campaign with a win against PSG, I think that's incredible.
Yeah, strong win for Liverpool there. And then they go into the league and they win 3-0 over Southampton. They are rocking right now. They're at the very top of the table, 18 points in 6 matches in the league with a plus 12 goal differential. I mean, the only thing you could really say about this match, besides the obvious, I mean, Agi the own goal shows up in the 10th minute, Matip scores, but I think the biggest point in this match is that Van Dijk goes out with an injury here.
Yeah, that, and I'd say that Shaqiri really had a huge impact on this game, which it was ironic that he was subbed after halftime because
yeah.
He was so good in the first half, but he is going to be huge for them. Down the stretch in the season when guys go down with injuries, I think he's a very nice depth piece. And if you're going to be one of the top teams in the world, you need guys like him to come off the bench, start a game like this. I think he had that basically the own goal and the assist on the free kick, which was sublime.
Yeah, absolutely. And you have to say that with having a piece like that, drawing that off the bench, and when you're down by a goal or something like that at City, that can make all the difference in a title race. And it's nice to see, you know, Man City does get a win this week, but Liverpool is looking like they want to contend, especially with their defense. Another clean sheet here, which is big for them to gather up confidence. And they've had the most clean sheets since they've had Van Dijk.
Yeah, and you're right. Van Dijk is huge. If he's out for, you know, 3 or 4 weeks with a broken rib or something like that, I think he's probably the most valuable player in terms of looking at him versus his replacement.
Yeah, value over replacement. Yeah, that's probably true.
Because last year at this time, you're talking about Liverpool having the worst defense out of the top six. And this year, they've had the best defense out of the top six.
Mm-hmm.
In particular, since Van Dijk's joined the squad, they've been the best defensive team in the league, I think.
Yeah, and we talk a lot about price tags, just because you have to when it comes to transfers in soccer. And we talk about money that's well spent. And I think City has the best record in terms of transfer fees and what they're getting for them. Even though they do spend a lot, they get what they are paying for, you know what I mean? And you have to look at a team like Liverpool and say that they've been doing a lot better with that. They've also been paying a ton more. I mean, Van Dijk's the most expensive defender ever. And they paid for Alisson, too. And it looks like he's going to be a pretty good keeper, at least not a keeper back there who's going to give away games like Karius and Mignolet, you know? So, I mean, that's a huge difference for them. They're spending money well. And that makes all the difference when you look at them compared to a team like Manchester United, who has spent a lot of money, the same, probably, you know, close to the same figures, not this offseason, but in seasons past. And you'd have to say that they are doing a good job, that is Liverpool, in spending their money.
Yeah, you absolutely have to spend money to win a title in the Prem or be a real contender. But you have to spend your money wisely. And Liverpool and Man City have not missed very often in the last year or two in the transfer market.
Yeah, which is huge. I think that's a testament to your general manager or your owner or whoever's controlling the transfers and your manager being on the same page, buying players for the right system. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I think City is the biggest example of that with, I can't pronounce his name, but the guy who came over from Barcelona, starts the T, with him coming over and knowing exactly what type of players are required for Pep's system and buying those players. I mean, let's not oversell it, though. I mean, he's buying players that are 60 million pounds. Like, you know, they're spending close to £500 million on players. So it's not like they're, like, finding bargain bin guys, but they're not missing, you know?
Yeah, there are other teams, and I would say that the other four of the top six have missed on multiple guys. You know, Everton spent a pile of money. Mm-hmm. West Ham's a good example of a team that spent a ton of money.
Chelsea's wasted an absolute crap load of money in the last 2 years. Wasted it.
Sure.
You know, like, I mean, we're talking about Ross Barkley, Danny Drinkwater. I mean, those are small fees, but Bakayoko, that was a big fee. He's gone. He's not on the team anymore.
What about Alvaro Morata?
Morata? Yeah, I mean, Chelsea has missed horribly. So, I mean, that's a great example. Let's actually go with City since we're already in that direction. We covered the two Liverpool matches. Liverpool in first place. But City actually loses in the Champions League this week to Lyon. Did you see that match?
Yeah, I caught about three quarters of it, and I thought it was shocking. You know, most of the games that City has lost or tied, they've in the last year, they've clearly outplayed the team and just haven't won or gotten the 3 points because of luck. Mm-hmm. But that I didn't think that was the case in this one, did you?
No, I mean, so what I saw was possession, which they're always going to win. I didn't see that kind of shell, though. You know, when you see teams like City lose matches where they're outpossessing the other team, they're just bombarding them, and then some dude sneaks through, it's one shot, one on goal, and 1-0, you know, and then they just ratchet up the bus and sit in front of the goal and hope that the other team doesn't score. I thought Lyon had a plan here. It was a counter-attacking plan, but it was built around stymieing the center of the field for Manchester City. They basically marked out Fernandinho with their two forwards, one of which was a former Manchester United player, Memphis Depay, and they used them to mark out Fernandinho, who they consider the hub of the City team, and they only marked in the center of the field, and they allowed City to go down the sidelines, but never to cut in, at least as best they could. I mean, Sané still got in a few times. But the idea was to make City cross, and City crossed 36 times in this one and did not score any goals from crosses. And I'm talking about, like, dribble down the byline, cross it in, not cut the ball inside and score that way. So you'd have to say that is, I mean, that was effective. I don't know how many teams can do that because their counterattack is run by Nabil Fekir, and Memphis Depay, who are two excellent players, especially Fekir. So, I mean, how many teams have the ability to be able to not only use those guys as defenders, but then switch them in the attack with that kind of speed? I mean, City will always struggle against teams that have, you know, outlandish speed like Liverpool. And by struggle, I mean that they're challenged by it, not that they're going to lose. So I think that Lyon had an awesome attack here. I just don't know how many teams can actually replicate it, you know?
Yeah, and I think anybody that thought they were going to be fine without De Bruyne and wouldn't drop any points, mm-hmm. I think that has been proven not to be the case. I think they definitely miss him. They're still an incredible squad. They're going to win that Champions League group, I think, without much of an issue. But
yeah,
to come out and lose their first game in the Champions League again, that's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, it bears noting, too, Pep Guardiola not in this match, way up in the sidelines, in the stands, sitting with his family, as he has been, was sent off at that last Liverpool match that they lost. And also, I think that Manchester City has lost their last three Champions League matches. I think that's right.
I think it's four.
Four Champions League matches, so just something to think about. Just something to think about, Dr.
Yeah,
P.
I think that's actually a record. No, I'm 90% positive they lost their last four Champions League matches, which is a record.
Yeah, I have to look it up, but I think that's absolutely true. And then you know what was going to happen this weekend? I had told you that whatever the over-under is on the Manchester City match in the league against,
Cardiff City.
Cardiff City. I said whatever the over-under is, I'm taking the over. Because Manchester City is going to be furious, and they are going to smash Cardiff to bits. Sure enough, they do. Sergio Aguero scores, Bernardo Silva scores, Gundogan scores, and Mahrez scores twice.
City James scored.
I mean, it was one of those games that I had no interest in watching, not just because I don't want to watch my rival smack the crap out of somebody, but because I never thought it would even be an interesting match, and it really wasn't.
Yeah, I'll watch most of the games that the top six play, unless it's like the worst team in the league, and then I'm like, I'm not going to waste my time.
Which is what
this
was.
Yeah. Yeah. You knew it was going to be 5+, and we should have put a bet down. It was the over was probably 4.
Yeah, 3.5, 4 probably. Yeah, 3.5. I mean, over 4 City goals. The over under on the game is probably like 4.5. So yeah, I mean, I would have taken it. I just didn't get it in time, Dr. Pete. Didn't get it in time.
Yeah,
you know?
Mahrez, welcome back to the league. We missed you for a while, buddy.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing is that Sané is still better, right? You're with
Sané
me.
Sané is way better.
Yeah,
they look so much more dangerous when he's on the field and cutting in from that side. Like he gives me nightmares thinking about playing against him.
He does with me too. Like he is so dynamic coming in and going around defender. He just dominates and gets to that byline and then squares those balls back to like the penalty marker. That's the City goal. I don't know how you defend him because he's one of those guys that dribbles to both sides.
Yeah, you can't defend him.
Yeah, like he's excellent. And, you know, City James alluded to the fact, and of course the press has too, that he's has focus problems or attitude problems. But I don't know. He just looks like they sat him down for a little bit and he looks pissed. And he looks like he's taking it out on other teams.
Yeah, I think they are a much better squad when he's in the starting lineup, mm-hmm. and you know, he proved it today, and it'll be interesting to see what happens going forward if he's consistently in the squad, because I think he deserves a spot.
Yeah, he does, and I think you know, it is a system, right? It is Pep's system that wins them a lot of the games, but you know, maybe there is enough of a difference between a guy like Sané and Mahrez. And Mahrez is obviously an excellent winger. And maybe there's enough of a difference, though, that it does matter. Do you know what I mean?
It's like, not going to matter in the Cardiff City game, but no, sure, it might matter when they're playing Barcelona in the Champions League or they're playing Liverpool in the Premier League. Sure.
Yeah, and I think it does matter, that little bit of quality, which is why Man City spends the way it does, for that little bit of quality, because they can, and they don't rest on their laurels. They want more. So I think that City looks dangerous in the league. They're just kind of waiting now. It's almost bad. You know, there's no target right now on their back.
Yeah, I think Pep's probably fine with where they are in the league right now. There's not a lot of pressure on them. There's not a lot of talk about them, even though they're playing very well and they've only dropped 2 points. You know, it'd be interesting. They've got some tougher games coming up, so.
Yeah, they do. I think it'll be interesting to see what happens with those for sure. Let's talk about some more tough games. Dr. Pete, as a part of their mire that they were in, Tottenham loses to Inter Milan 2-1, Dr. Pete, and it was very similar, you said, to watching them lose against Juventus in that match, and I completely agree. It was away in Italy at the San Siro for Inter Milan, and Tottenham played pretty well. I mean, they weren't dominating, but they played pretty well for about 83 minutes. Very similar to the Juventus game.
Yeah, we were in complete control of the game 83 minutes in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are a lot of people that are talking about the problems with our depth, that we didn't buy anybody in the off season. But at the end of the day, if you're watching us week in and week out, our biggest problem is our defense. Yeah. And we had plenty of depth back there when you consider that Sanchez is there, Vertonghen, Alderweireld stayed. All those guys are still there. Nobody changed in our defense. And we've had one of the best defenses in the last 2 years, or two or 3 years, really. And they've just been terrible this year, conceding goals on set pieces every game. And this was another one where, you know, we conceded the second goal on a set piece. And Inter Milan didn't do anything for the first 80 minutes. We were cruising, but the problem is when you're up 1-0, like the great teams, you know, Barcelona, Liverpool, Man City, they put the teams away, you know, as the teams are pressing for that goal, get that second goal and put the game to bed. And they haven't been able to do that. And it's come back to haunt them. And in this one, not only did they throw away 2 points with the tie, but they ended up losing it 3 points altogether.
Yeah, I mean, it bears noting, though, it took a wonder goal to get Inter Milan into that position. You know, that Mauro Icardi smash was an absurd finish on a volley. That ball floats up in the air and he smashes it in from the 18. I mean, there's only a handful of players in the world who can score that. You know, and that's where, you know, if you're Tottenham, you feel hard done. That's 85th minute, smashes the ball in, and it just felt like a balloon, like it just deflated. And then from there, I mean, Tottenham was just trying to hang on.
Yeah, it's the same thing that happened with Juventus, though, and you're going to get that talk about mental toughness until you finish teams off. And in order to overcome a referee mistake or a wonder strike, you've got to put that game away. They had chances, you know, Harry Kane, someone else missed one to go up 2-0, and they ended up ruining those chances.
That's a good point. I mean, I also saw that in the City game with Lyon, fast break by Memphis Depay, and he hits the post. And if he hadn't hit the post, it's 3-0, and that game's over, even against Manchester City. And then you see Tottenham do the same kind of thing, especially last year in that Juventus match. They had chances to put the ball away, and I think that is the difference between teams that have been there and haven't. They are cold-blooded and finish those matches off, and Tottenham is just still floating out there, just waiting to become that team before it's too late. You know, they have to be able to put that goal away, have to be able to score against Juventus after they let up the goal. Instead, they hit the post. You know, if you remember that match, when we keep bringing it up, that's not the match they played.
Yeah, if you could keep bringing
Inter Milan
up, that would be great.
I mean, it was the same story, though.
Absolutely. Except Juventus was a better team. And
yeah, than Inter Milan.
We were at home
true.
For that game. Otherwise, the script was almost exactly the same. We dominated the game. It looked like we were cruising. Everybody thought we were going to win the game. And then we didn't, which is the Tottenham story, unfortunately, over the last year.
Yeah, and then you had a crisis mode at Tottenham under Pochettino right now because of all the losses they've had. recently. So, you know, all of a sudden they have 3-4 losses in a row in all comps, and everybody's like, what's going on here? What's wrong with Harry Kane? Harry Kane's tired. That's when all those questions start coming up, and that's why this weekend was such a big deal. You know, playing Brighton, you're playing away in the Prem, and you're not playing well. Your form is poor, and your team is getting questioned, and thankfully for you, Dr. Pete, Tottenham made this game a little bit easier on your nerves. It wasn't a great match by any stretch, but they're the better team. Harry Kane scores a great penalty kick, but I don't know, he didn't really do much for me in this match besides that. And Lamela scores an excellent goal because Lamela's good.
Yeah, Lamela doesn't get talked about too much, but we actually do have some decent depth in midfield. We've got Son is back, mm-hmm. Eriksen, Dele's out, who he came on today as a sub. You've got Lucas Moura, who can play up top or outside right, and you've also got Lamela. So we don't really have a problem with our attack. It's all the depth problem, and even the starters, the problem is really the defense. But Lamela, he's got 4 goals in the Premier League in 4 appearances. Most mm-hmm. of those goals are coming off the bench. He's really changed the game when he's come on, and I think he fits in perfectly in Poch's system because he runs all day. He can finish. He can run at guys. So I like him a lot.
Yeah, I think that's big for Inter Milan or for Tottenham to be able to get those guys in. Lamela playing well right now. Also, his goals have been pretty nice overall. Yeah. Like, the quality of his goals have been pretty good. I mean, the big thing with him is staying healthy, right? If he stays healthy and you can rotate him in, Lucas Moura stays playing well and Son stays well, I mean, you guys will be okay. You're still going to be one injury away from being thin, though.
Yeah, I mean, up there, like I said, I think we're fine. We can afford an injury. You can't afford an injury to Kane, but the rest of the team is where the depth problems lie. And, for example, we're starting Eric Dier, who is maybe the worst starter in the top 6 teams.
Right now, he is. He's just brutal right now. Yeah. Reading the game defensively very poorly, his positioning is poor, and his offensive positioning, his transition play has been poor.
Yeah, he was terrible in the Inter Milan game. He was terrible in this game. And just give him a rest, Poch. Just say he's played too much, played a lot in the World Cup. Just take a seat for a while, maybe a game or two.
Yeah, I think that's important for Tottenham to get these guys rolling and get through this stretch. Pochettino left some players behind in the Inter Milan game, Trippier, for instance. I think he's going to be doing that. He has to rotate these players. You know, people don't talk about it a lot, but Ken's going to kill me for this one. Ferguson used to give guys vacations in the middle of the season.
Yeah, you know? I love that. Just go and go take a vacation.
Exactly, and I think that's huge. The season's 9-10 months long, and you add international, it becomes 11 months. So I think that that's a big deal. And I don't mind Pochettino doing it at all. I worry a little bit that Tottenham will struggle in the Champions League with that, but they got to prioritize the league, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, you definitely want to advance in the Champions League. There's no question about that. But you've got to stay in the Champions League, and, you know, realistically, they're not a title contender, no matter what anybody says, including Pochettino. But staying in the Champions League is critical, and you're seeing what things look like when you're in the Europa League and having to play on Thursdays and not being able to get certain players. You know, if you see quotes that come out every once in a while. You know, players say Champions League is everything when they're talking about where they're going. So that is massive.
Yeah, I agree. And it brings in revenue on a team that needs revenue, frankly. I mean, Tottenham's doesn't have a billionaire oil tycoon bankrolling him. I mean, let's not pretend that they're not worth a lot of money.
Net spend is the lowest among the top 6.
Yeah.
Consistently.
And, I mean, they're still bankrolled by a very rich person, don't get me wrong, but they don't have the same bankroll as City, United, Chelsea, etc. So they need to get all the money they can while they're building this stadium and still maintain their current status. So I think Champions League is important for them. Champions League is important for Manchester United as well, Dr. Pete. Man United win 3-0 over Young Boys. I struggle with a team called Young Boys, man. I feel like, like, I know it's in another country and it's all different, blah, 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 but, like, can we just name them something else?
You just insulted all of your young boy fans.
I don't know how to even handle that.
You just lost two listeners.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Like, we need to rename that team. especially, like, with all the, like, Catholic priest stuff going around. Like, James is sending me all these memes of Young Boys versus United, and it's just, like, you know, it's just, like, such an easy target. So, anyway, Man United wins 3-0. Pogba with an awesome game here. Two goals and an assist, a great assist, too, as he pulls out one of his, what is it, what do you think, like, 1 in 5 that he does this, where he plays a really good game and then 4 mediocre games in a row?
I think it's a little more, he plays a little better than that, but he's very inconsistent.
But he had an awesome match in this one. Martial scores thanks to a Pogba pass, and United win here. It wasn't as emphatic as the scoreline would suggest. I mean, Young Boys had 18 shots, and I know it's just a stat, but it's not like they had 4, you know?
Yeah, it wasn't complete domination, but it was a solid win. I thought it was actually got their season back on track a little bit, but...
Oh, yeah, I mean, it helped. I mean, it helped. They needed some wins in a row. How'd you feel about the artificial turf they played on? Like, they do a lot with the MLS, and, like, you know, all the stadiums around us in Baltimore have moved to where they have this artificial turf with the black rubber underneath it.
I know his Latam won't play on it.
No, he refuses to play on it, which is very interesting to me. But Manchester United making a lot of noise about that. Do you think that there is a place for that kind of turf? I kind of agree with what United was saying in that, you know, why would you change at this level when every little thing matters? Why would you have a totally different surface for a team? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's hard. I mean, some of those English, like, second, third, fourth division teams have the worst fields in the universe. You know, when you go and play on the road in the FA Cup, like, it's so dangerous.
Yeah, it's like how can they play playing on?
Yeah, how can you play soccer on this at that level? Like, those teams, okay, you can put an artificial turf.
Yeah, see, I'm okay on there,
and it's actually going to improve the quality of the game and decrease the injuries. Yeah, if you're in Siberia, you know, you probably need a turf field. But other than those instances, you should be able to, you know, if you're a serious club, if you're in the Champions League,
yes,
you should be able to grow a grass field, bro.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, and I think that it's one of those things where United actually left players behind because they didn't want the older players to play on it. And the same thing you had said before about Zlatan. I mean, Zlatan for the Galaxy refuses
to play.
He's like,
not playing.
No,
sorry.
He's not playing. So, I don't know. I just think it's a weird thing to have, basically. But United win their Champions League match in the middle of the week, and then they go and play Wolves at home in a match that, honestly, like, they really needed to get 3 points out of and show something. And they came out all right. They were still a little flat, still allowed a ton of shots, and a ton of shots on target from Wolves. And you have to say that even though they scored early, Fred got a goal in the 18th minute. Yay, Fred. Their attack was ineffectual at home, which is not what you want to see, especially from Alexis Sanchez, who was extremely poor. And I believe the stat is 3 goals since he arrived in January, and he is the highest paid player in the Prem is what they're reporting. You never know what that means. Yeah, because there wasn't really a transfer fee. So they basically took the transfer fee and put it in his pocket. But, I mean, Alexis Sanchez is a huge reason why people are noticing the United attack. And if Alexis Sanchez is scoring a goal a game, nobody's talking, nobody's whining, nobody's complaining. But Sanchez just looks like he's just a fish in the wrong pond, really, you know?
Yeah. Ken's laughing all the way to the bank after that transfer. I'm shocked that he hasn't made an impact there. Do you think it's more the system that he's in or just him as a player doesn't fit? I mean, he had problems at Arsenal, too, at the end.
He also scored like 20 goals a year for a couple of those years. I mean, 20 goals. But the problem really is he needs no defensive responsibilities, and he needs the offense to be completely free under him. He needs to be a complete wild card in the offense, complete free roll.
Like Hazard.
Get as much as the ball, yes, as much of the ball as he wants. And the problem is, I mean, United has actually given him a decent amount of freedom. It's just more like you can be free, but you have to be free on the left side of the field playing underneath Lukaku. You can't go past Lukaku. Like, there are some rules there, but it's not like he's playing defense. You know, Lingard's on the other side as right winger, and he's playing deep. You know, he's the one who has to play defense, and Fred will be underneath Sanchez. Sanchez doesn't have any defensive responsibilities, and that's what he needs. But he's not getting it done. He's not getting opportunities. He's not beating people one-on-one, which is a big deal from that role. And you can see why Mourinho is upset by Sanchez. It looks to me at this point like Sanchez was a deal that Woodward saw. And, I mean, it made sense at the time in terms of money. I mean, the transfer fee was minimal. And you got rid of Mkhitaryan at the same time. You just have to pay Sanchez a lot. In that same argument, though, you have to say that just because it's a good deal doesn't mean it's the right deal, you know?
Yeah, and you've talked some about wage structure, and that definitely has an impact. If he's making that much money, the other guys in the locker room are saying, hey, you know, why am I not making half as much as him? The guy scored 3 goals since he's been here. But yeah. I'm interested to see, you know, whether his type of play is almost like a dying breed, because you look at it's very hard in the Prem these days to get by with more than one or two one-dimensional players. You really need your whole team to be playing defense and getting the ball back, and that's why Man City is so successful and Liverpool is so successful with their press, because all those guys are involved in that high-press system. And if you just have one guy who isn't playing any defense, perfect example is Ozil. I mean, Ozil has killed his team on the defensive side for years now. And he's great on offense sometimes, but, you know, that's why Emery is having trouble fitting him into the system.
Yeah, I think that's true. I also think that there are players like Ozil who can't play defense. I think Sanchez plays defense sometimes, like when his blood's up, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like goes in and tries to tackle guys when his blood's up, and I don't think Ozil's blood is ever up. I just don't. Like, I don't think he's that kind
not
of
anymore.
Player. No, I just don't think he is. But yeah, I mean, where is Sanchez going to go? You talk about wage structure. I think it doesn't matter as much in the locker room because he's won a lot. Like, he won with Barcelona. He's been a great player, and he even had a lot of great stats at Arsenal. So the fact that he got paid, I don't think that's a big deal. I think it just matters when you go to pay Pogba, right?
Yeah.
Because Pogba's the best player on your team. I mean, he hasn't been a world beater in every single match, and I already took a shot at him, but he's still the best player in your team. Like, he plays defense, he plays offense, he doesn't always score a million goals, which is why people are like, well, he's overrated. It's not about his goals, it's about his play. And yes, he goes up and he goes down, but he's still the best player on your team. And so if Sanchez is making the most, when it comes time to pay Pogba, I mean, I don't know if you can do it. You know what I mean? Because you have to say that I have to pay the best player on the team more than Sanchez. Well, if Sanchez is making 100% double what Pogba's making, then Pogba's going to want more than double. And that is a lot of money.
Absolutely, yeah. Even Kane, who's the best player on our team, got his new contract and deserves to be making the most money in the team. The other guys are still grumbling about pay raise because of the way, you know, you set that bar up. Even if the player's earning it, you're still going to have guys that want to be measured up around that.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I don't mean to downplay De Gea, by the way. It's just goalies don't get paid, but like outfield players. I know De Gea, when he gets paid, will be the highest paid goalie in the world. It won't be close. But I don't think he'll ever get in the realm of, you know, Messi, Ronaldo, Pogba, etc., those kind of guys. It's just not the way it is. So I'm aware that De Gea is the best player on the team. I just he's not really included in a wage conversation at this point. So a couple other points from this match is it finishes 1-1, which I think was very fair, by the way, Dr. Pete. I think that's a fair result.
Let's give Wolverhampton some credit,
yeah.
By the way. We didn't talk about them at all. They're a joy to watch, and they don't fear anybody. You know, you think a newly promoted team, most of them don't even bother playing against the top six. They just consider it 3 points lost.
Yeah.
But they've been awesome to watch. Terrific attacking football.
Yeah, and they deserve their goal. A terrific finish from João Moutinho. Did you read that stat that I think it was his last 7 goals that he's taken have been outside of the 18?
No.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
I'm not kidding. Yeah, absolutely.
That's unbelievable.
He's unbelievable. You do have, I mean, it's worth noting that a bunch of these players from Wolves were taken from Champions League teams, Portuguese Champions League teams especially. So they do have the talent for it. They played an excellent match here. But United, you're just disappointed with them at home really showing nothing in the second half. Pogba was so good in the first half. Terrific assist as he brings a ball down for Fred, who gets his first Man United goal. But the offense besides that was very poor. Lukaku was starved. No service at all. Just no chance, really. And that, to me, came down to my initial point about Sanchez. Just nothing from Sanchez in this one. Has to be more from Sanchez and Lingard. They didn't get it. But I will say that Shaw and Valencia were excellent in this match, especially Shaw, who's been good from the very beginning of the season. And the only thing you worry about now, Dr. Pete, if you're a Manchester United fan, would be, when's he going to get injured?
Yeah, absolutely. I have a question for you, Tom.
Yeah.
When is the last time in your entire history as a Man U fan that you felt like your home was not a fortress?
David Moyes, I guess. I mean, we finished in seventh.
Does he count?
It does. It counts. But
other than him.
But, Van Hall was pretty good at home. Mourinho's career at home is pretty unbelievable. So, I mean, he has like 10 or 12 career losses in his history at home. So you have to say that, it had to be David Moyes where it wasn't a fortress.
Yeah, I just think right now it doesn't look that scary to play at Old Trafford.
No, and the problem is it's not that it's not like scary to play at Old Trafford or whatever. The problem is that you're not worried about losing 3-0 ever against this Manchester United. You know that they're just going to go in there and try to win by one goal. That's what it is. So if you try to win by one goal every single game, then you are going to get draws 1-1 when you don't play well. Like, you know, Mourinho would have been fine if that, you know, João Moutinho goal hits off the post and doesn't go in. He would have been like, oh, we got the 3 points. If you're just trying to win 1-0 all the time, like, you're going to lose points, and you can't do that if you actually want to be a title contender. And I, like you said with Tottenham, I'm realistic about this. I think that United is battling for third and fourth place.
There's a hell of a battle for third and fourth.
Hell of a battle.
Especially the fourth spot is going to be a barn burner to the last day of the season.
It is. So the next team we'll include in that barn burning race would be Chelsea, as they play West Ham United on the Sunday match we had today. And they don't win, Dr. Pete. Do you think that has anything to do with their Europa League match?
The Thursday match across the continent?
Thursday slog, yep.
Might have had something to do with this one, maybe.
Sorry, a mess in this one, by the way. The manager. Chewing on cigarettes, which I just think is so weird. I understand smoking. I understand why people smoke. That doesn't really bother me at all.
There's smoking and then there's smoking.
Like, get a patch, man. Like, do something different. But, like, chewing on cigarettes, and then you couple that with his attire, which is shameful. You know, we always joke about how Pep looks so casual, and, like, you know, he's got all these tailored T-shirts and stuff, and he takes things at a very casual level while still being very stylish. And Sarri is just, like, he's offensive.
He is definitely offensive. He's the worst dressed coach that I've ever seen. I mean, you know, they have to take that into account when they go to hire him. Like, somebody says something like, well, this guy's the face of our club.
Yeah, he's the
brand. He looks like he's dressed to go out to the mailbox to get his social security check on the last day of the month.
He looks like he's wearing hospital scrubs with a Chelsea emblem stitched into it. That's what it looks like to me. It looks like he wears hospital scrubs to the game. He looks awful. Couple that with, like, a cigarette that he, like, not only chews on, but, like, rolls around in his mouth, like, flicks in and out. They're just like,
You know he's accidentally swallowed one before.
Oh, yeah. Well, it might have been during this match, as West Ham 0, Chelsea 0. Chelsea did take it to him, but they just didn't have enough to get the ball over the line. And West Ham must be ecstatic, you know? They look like they were going to lose. But they hang on here to win. Chelsea does win their Europa match. Anything you want to say about the Europa match?
I would correct you and say they didn't win. It was 0-0, and they dropped 2 points. But
their Europa match?
Oh, I thought you were talking about the
No, the West Ham match they won. I know.
Oh, okay. We'll edit that part out. the Europa League match, I mean, it's stupid. The first, like, all the games in the Europa League are stupid, other than sapping your energy up until, like, the semifinal, when you're like, okay, are we not going to make it in one of the top two spots? Fine, we'll try in the Europa League, like Arsenal did last year.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I said it back when Manchester United was in the Europa League. Like, I hate the Europa League.
It's terrible.
if United didn't win the Europa League, which is very difficult to do, Jose Mourinho might be gone. They finished in sixth place. They completely mailed in the rest of the season to try to get a Champions League berth through the Europa League, which they did, of course. But, I mean, it was a gamble because the Europa League is hard.
Well, Arsene might still be with us.
Well, I don't know about that, but maybe. Maybe. I mean, maybe. If he wins a European trophy, maybe. Chelsea wins their Europa League match 1-0 in Greece, which, I mean, good for them. But it's like you said, like, what do? You put your eggs in that basket? No, you don't. You need to win that league match over the weekend against West Ham. You need that match. Just the way Liverpool and City are playing, if you want to hang with them, which, you know, I think right now Chelsea looks good, but I think they will drop back in with Tottenham and Manchester United. And I think that they're going to end up in that battle for third, fourth place. I think that you're going to have that battle there. I don't put Arsenal there yet, Dr. Pete, although they did win 2-0. So maybe I'm just overlooking them to be insulting.
No, I think we've finally gotten rid of all the Arsenal delusionists on this podcast.
Well, and you heard the last episode, right? The interview we had with the Arsenal America guy.
Yeah, it was deplorable. It was like two guys psyching themselves up about just a team that does not have very many elite players.
They won. They won again. They won their Europa League match. I think Welbeck scored in their Europa League match. They won today against Everton when they looked like they were going to lose or draw. Much better second half from them in this one. Lacazette and Aubameyang, the two, get them through. The Lacazette goal is nice.
Yeah, actually I had to clear my goggles off and see if that was Thierry Henry, because that looked like one of his classic swingers over. But Arsenal was terrible in the first half.
Yeah, they were. Like, obviously, I thought Everton was going to win.
Arsenal came out and did a good job in the second half, but their defense is so shaky. If I'm an Arsenal fan and Man City or Liverpool are coming to town, I'm shaking in my boots with that defense. And Socrates went out with an injury.
Yeah,
Mustafi was hobbling around. I mean, if those guys, any either of those guys go out, and they're not that great to begin with, they are in serious trouble. Petr Cech was incredible in this, by the way.
Yeah, surprising. Get another berth there, as Leno played in the Thursday night match and played pretty well, especially with his distribution. But Petr Cech was a good goalie in this match.
Yeah, he is a good shot stopper. We gave him a very hard time at the beginning of the season, but that's because he's being asked to do something that he cannot do and will never be able to do, which is distribute.
I mean, you're not
wrong.
You
can't change someone at that level when they've been playing the same way for that long. It's impossible.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And I think that he is the long-term solution, that is Leno, but Petr Cech saved the day in this one. So give him his credit where credit is due, especially with as poorly as he's played in that role that they're asking him to play in the beginning of the season. But, you know, Arsenal does get 3 points here, and that's what matters. They are still above Manchester United, so Ken can still gloat a little bit. They sit on 12 points in sixth place. United is in seventh place on 10 points with a 0-goal differential, which to me, Dr. Pete, is the most important thing when it comes to looking at Man United, because that's what they are. They're not offensive enough. They're not defensive enough. They're just not good enough right now. But I think that they'll start picking up points. You know how they do. 1-0, 2-1, beating, you know, the 15th place team. Not the relegation battlers. They lose to them. But they'll end up getting their 3 points here and there off of Everton and, you know, Watford, Brighton, those kind of teams. And then they'll end up losing to West Ham next weekend, probably. But I think United is in the mix for Champions League. Arsenal probably will be too. I worry about Arsenal dealing with Europa. Tottenham in fifth place on 12 points as well. Watford still in fourth. Dr. Pete, they're still hanging around. I don't know how long we're going to see them.
They head down there. I think you got two interesting races shaping up.
Yeah.
You got the Liverpool Man City title race, and then you've got a scrum for third and fourth that seriously I think is going to go down the last day, which I mean, you know, my team's not going to win the Premier League this year.
No,
I understand that, but it's still exciting to watch every single game, because when you drop points, you know that it's going to be huge at the end of the year. So
yeah,
it sucks that we're not a title contender, but at least I can watch and be sad or happy when we win.
Yeah, there's a lot of to-do made this week about the FIFA rankings, because the Premier League players all got bumped up, and the German League got bumped down, the Italian League got bumped down, the French League overall got bumped down, except for the very best players in the league. And all the fans of the German leagues were saying, you know, this is, the Prem is overhyped and blah, blah, blah. But the truth of the matter is that why would your team be rated highly, or your league be rated highly, when you only have one team in there? I mean, like, every single year, Germany, the Bundesliga is decided in January. And yes, last year the Prem was, but it's usually not. You know, like, it's usually at least some kind of race. And then you have a race for the top four with good teams. And that's what beats up, you know, the Premier League and keeps them from winning all the Champions League. But the Germans aren't even winning Champions Leagues. You know, like, even with Bayern, they're not winning the Champions League. So I think it was a rightful step back, and that with the way that the Prem played in the Champions League last year, with the exception of Manchester United, you'd have to say that they represented themselves at the highest level. They had the best players, and that's why we like the league so much.
Yeah, I think you've got five teams in the Premier League that are in the top 12 or so in the world.
You're gonna get a lot of texts in that group chat that just says disrespectful. It's gonna be from Ken.
Well, you let two Arsenal fans just go off and talk about how great everything was, and you let them slip. They make fun of you so much for talking about Fergie, and then Wenger, 2 days after he retires, talking about, you know, he's the greatest thing since sliced bread, even though he was terrible his last, you know, 5 years and left them with a team. I mean, we talked about this before, Tom. What players in your team or on Arsenal's team would you take to replace a player in your team right now, this very moment?
I don't know. I can't. You asked me this question before. It's not like we didn't think about it. Aubameyang versus Lukaku, I still take Lukaku. That would be the closest one, I think.
It's not close. I wouldn't take Aubameyang over Lukaku. No way.
No, I mean, Aubameyang's a good player. I just don't think that. I think Lukaku offers more. None of the defenders, obviously. Not the goalie, obviously. Not Xhaka. Not Ozil. I honestly don't think I would take any.
Yeah. So, simple as that.
Yeah. I think we'll. All right.
That's my answer to their stupid podcast.
That's fair. A 2-year-old did come on the podcast and say that Tottenham were crap. So I don't feel like bleeping it out again. So I'm not saying it again. But did swear at your team. So
don't make me wake Phil up right now.
Don't wake Phil up. Okay. So Watford in fourth, Chelsea and Man City tied in 16 points for second and third. Man City leading in goal differential with plus 16 and looking very dangerous. Each one of those teams has a draw. And Liverpool, the perfect start. 6 wins on the trot, plus 12 goal differential, 18 points overall. And really, it comes down to whether or not you think they can sustain it as they get their first big injury of the year with Van Dijk. We'll see what happens with that next week, Dr. Pete, because they play Chelsea at Chelsea.
Yeah, that should be a good game. And they've got Chelsea twice, right? They've got Wednesday FA Cup.
The Carabao Cup. Yeah, so that'll be a good match. That's definitely the match of the weekend next week. Arsenal plays Watford. That could be interesting with the Troy Deeney thing. Tottenham needs 3 points against Huddersfield. Got to get back on track there. United the same against West Ham. Can't let West Ham come and scrap some points away from you there. Got to take the points as they come to you. Absolutely. And then on top of that, I mean, other matches that weekend, not really nothing else sticking out to me. I mean, City plays, who does City play? Brighton at home. I mean, that's another 5-0 win. So, I mean, you're not going to get your points there. But, yeah, I mean, the table's starting to shape up a little bit. I think that remove Watford and you get a pretty good look at the way the league will finish, except obviously Arsenal will finish below Manchester United just because they will. But, yeah, I mean, I think you're looking at a great battle for third and possibly first place. So, I mean, that's all you can really ask for, right? I mean, you got three teams right now vying for the title, and City hasn't won it yet, so I'm happy.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great season, even better than the last one.
Absolutely. We'll see what happens with the Champions League as those matches start coming up and teams have to manage around them. United, obviously, off to a good start, but you never know. Same with Liverpool. City, off to a bad start. Real quick, we're going to end the podcast with this. What happens if Manchester City were to drop out of the group stage? I absolutely don't think they will. But what would happen if they dropped out of the Champions League group stage?
I think their season's a failure, even if they win the Premier League.
I absolutely agree. I'm just interested to see how quickly the narrative changes. You know what I mean?
You know, you win the league and it's good and all, but everybody around there is going to feel like it's a failure.
I'm very interested to see what would happen. I don't think it's not going to happen. We will get that chance. So, all right, for Dr. Pete, I am Tom Miller saying thanks for joining us, and we apologize for not getting out that episode with the Baltimore Podcast Festival. Unfortunately, the audio quality wasn't good enough, and I didn't want to put it up. So we appreciate you guys hanging with us, and I hope everybody has an awesome week.